2 Peter and chapter 1. We are continuing on with the portrait of a conscientious Christian. Today, I want us to focus on the character of fortitude. The character of fortitude. When you read the Apostle Peter and his writings, you'll not doubt to affirm that the Apostle Peter held firmly to the doctrines of grace. Therefore, that proves that what we believe is in line with the apostolic doctrine. Many elements that Peter has touched on with regards our salvation being wholly owned by God. In his submissions, you discover that the Apostle Peter does not shy away to talk about the severity of sin. He does not shy away from emphasizing the reality of the death of Christ, and that only based upon his blood shed on Calvary's tree is our atonement. The Apostle Peter does not shy away from encouraging the believers to persevere. We have this acronym, TULIP. What I've just mentioned to you are the 5 points of Calvinism. And among those elements, we find the Apostle Peter talking about perseverance. And that's what we have presented before us this evening. The Apostle Peter knows exactly that his recipients are men and women saved by the grace of God, sustained by the grace of God, and they will march on as the soldiers of the cross till the very end. And if you did read toward the end, the Apostle Peter speaks about how Christian wives and Christian husbands should live in this fallen world. All what we have submitted before us is how God in his grace is able to save not only the first century Christians and sustain them to the very end, but also the 21st century Christians is able to save and is able to sustain them, preserve them to the very end. Because Peter did submit to us last time that just like them, they received the faith of the same kind as the Apostle Peter. We have also received the faith of the same kind as the Apostle Peter. And therefore, when it comes to the principle of being preserved by the grace of God, and we persevere to the end, it is not something new. That's something that has been done before. We have such a great cloud of witnesses. They've done it before. We too can do it by the strength that he alone provides. I want to talk to us tonight on the call to persevere, the context of perseverance, and then the comforts there is in perseverance. Just three elements. Please do read with me from 2 Peter and chapter 1. And I'll read from verse 4. But tonight, our concentration is on the other building block, perseverance in verse 6. But from verse 4, the Apostle Peter says, "For by these..." Now we know the preceding ideas, by his divine power, has granted to us all that pertains to life and godliness. He's called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these things, rather by these, he has granted to us his gracious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. In your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. In your self-control, perseverance. So, we look firstly on the call to persevere. The Apostle Peter, as he writes, he is confident that these men have been chosen by God, they have been elected by God, and all that comes with their salvation ought to be expected, because much of these elements they already have received and they are walking in them, as we have learned together previously. He says these qualities, they are yours. They are supposed to be in us. So even the call to persevere is something that is accompanied by our salvation. We must persevere, in simple terms. And that which will cause you to persevere is already there. Others are already going through and they are persevering. Others are yet to receive and experience those unbecoming circumstances that will demand for your absolute perseverance. So the Apostle Peter, as he writes to these brethren, he knows they are already experiencing the animosity that came as a result of their profound professional faith in Christ. And based upon that, they needed not to shrink, but rather forge ahead as the soldiers of the cross. The Apostle Paul, rather Peter, says in their self-control, as they master themselves, they need to persevere. Now, what is perseverance? What is perseverance? Well, perseverance and its definition, we notice that perseverance is a verb, but at the same time, it is a compound verb. It reads hupomenos. Hupo, H-U-P-O, and then M-E, M-O-N-E. Those two are words that combine together, give to us the element of what perseverance is. So, hupo, that is a Greek term. It means under. It means under or submitted, below. Meno, M-E-N-O, means to remain. When you put those two ideas together, it means to remain, and it is the call to devote oneself. It is the call to dedicate oneself. And the idea behind is not for you to look for ways to come away from being under. Because you are being subjected to be under based upon not only your conversion, but your professional faith, because of him in whom you have been believed. In whom you have believed. So it is to remain under. It's subjecting oneself. Being submitted. It basically says that you ought not to rebel. You remain under. It is a picture of one that is steadfast, one who is unflinching when they are bearing a heavy load. They are not willing to lay their load down. They want to carry on without giving up. This perseverance describes to us a particular character, a character of one that is never willing to surrender, one who's not willing to succumb to any circumstance that comes over them. It is one who does not allow himself to surrender nor to succumb. This is the picture of one whose character is consistent, and therefore they are able to endure based upon Christ and what he has provided. And that's to say, perseverance is not a call to run the race by your own strength. It is to rely upon the other who has the strength to cause you to endure. You are relying upon him. There are pressures round about you that would come as a result of, especially in this context, as a result of being a Christian. This call to persevere is one relative, or rather paints a picture of a military personnel or a soldier who is greatly injured. He's wounded severely. But the only thing he can do is bite his lip and silently grit his teeth, and he does not want to let his physical pain, the emotional strain, to slow him down. But he's one whose desire is to go until the battle is won. It speaks of one who is courageous, one who unwaveringly stands determined to fight no matter what. This is an individual who refuses. Like, for instance, I remember Pastor Kalifungo gave us that illustration of a boxer. I think it's in that context, one who receives blows after blows after blows and then refuses to throw in a towel. You stand your ground. So the definition of this perseverance is one who remains under. But there are usages in the scriptures with regards the same perseverance. At times it can be used in a noun form, at times, and for the most times, it's in the verbal form. But it conveys the very same principle of patience, of endurance, perseverance. At times it can be both active, at times it can be passive. You are the one doing something as you persevere, or you remain under and receive whatever is coming your way until that current passes. Passively receive. There are examples with regards perseverance. Now I know that the Apostle Peter, as he writes to these believers, especially being Jews, they were very much familiar with the Old Testament writings. They were also familiar with the New Testament writings. They actually had the Apostle Peter with them at some point. So examples of men that persevered, in order for us to not feel that we are the only ones, or they were the only ones being demanded of to persevere. We have the patriarch, Job, who persevered, and many of us know this story. In fact, James, the brother of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, did cite this very man, Job. From James 5 and verse 11, he speaks about the example of the endurance of Job. We know what befell Job. Lost everything. And for many years. And then in the providence of God, the Lord restored all things to him. But he remained under. In fact, when we talk about passivity, he received the pressures upon him. And he never once did anything to alleviate what he was receiving. He just sat there. And you can actually see from his reasoning, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken. Blessed be his glorious name. Job persevered. We also have an example of the Apostle Paul. The man called by God, but he was also called to persevere. 2 Corinthians, there is an extensive write-up about the Apostle Paul. The true sign of the apostleship, he said, among those signs is perseverance. The Apostle Paul, with many agonizing experiences he had, never once did he doubt his call. All kinds of circumstances came upon the Apostle Paul. All the agonies that accompanied his Christian ministry. But never once did he regret. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 8 through 9. Let me read these in your hearing. Paul writes, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive basically a reward concerning what he did in his body, whether good or bad. But he did persevere. We are pressed down, crushed, and yet not destroyed." But we also have the greatest example of all that did persevere. The Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior. In Hebrews chapter 12, maybe we can turn there and just read those beautiful words. Hebrews chapter number 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, we find that we have a great cloud of witnesses that is surrounding us. And then he says this, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sins which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Now look at the example we have. Who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. But he endured. That is the word equivalent to perseverance. He persevered. He persevered. Regardless the shame that came with the cross, he bore that shame. When men and women sneered at him, teased him, taunted him, battered him, did all things against him, he received all that. He received all that. In Luke 9, verse 51, we see the determination of Christ. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I love the way the original says it. He set his face like flint. Determined. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, persevered. We too can persevere because the saints are part of the examples of those that persevered. We just read Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. We have a great cloud of witnesses. Chapter 11, we have an example of those that persevered as well to the very end. And it's not only that. Paul offered a prayer for the believers in Thessalonica. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, he says, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. In other words, the perseverance, the endurance of Christ. May he direct your hearts. James 1:12. What does he say? Blessed is a man who perseveres under trials. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And lastly, on this idea, Philippians 1:29. You cannot just go over the calling without considering this section. It says, and I read, for to you, in other words, to the saints, the believers, for to you, and place yourself in this pronoun, the you, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake. He says not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. We are all called, brethren, to persevere. Like I said, some of us are currently going through difficult circumstances because of our faith. Others are yet to experience that. Others have already gone through this and they have emerged victorious, but more pressures are coming. We will persevere until the very end. But let's look secondly, not only the call, but the context of perseverance. Now this, we know that the immediate context in the mind of the Apostle Peter is writing to the believers, those that are scattered across Asia Minor. But we see that the context of perseverance has in the first place more to do with the Christian ministry and faithfulness to the service. In other words, when we render service to God, what comes with that is hardships for the most part. And therefore they call for you to persevere. When you live a resolute life of devotion to life and service to Christ, we are to persevere. The Apostle John, way in future with regards to Revelation, Revelation chapter 10 and verse 3, the word came to him from the mouth of Christ. He says, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you in the hour of testing, and the hour in which is upon the whole world. He says to taste those who dwell upon the earth. 2 Corinthians 1:6 speaks of afflictions that would come. So in the context of affliction, we have to persevere. How? Enduring with patience. In the context of hardship, the context of distress, in context of pain, we have to persevere. And the beauty with perseverance is this. It affirms all the time of the assurance we have in God for heaven. The one who perseveres always looks beyond what is prevailing here and now. When we serve, when those hardships come because of our ministry to God, to His church, to one another, and for instance, if the world were to rise up against us, it just solidifies this conviction in us. This is not our home. Hence the need to persevere. We actually learned something from Christ. He persevered because there was a joy set before Him. We persevere in our service. Even in our exercise of Christian prudence. Because we know that there is hope that lies ahead of us. In the context of testing. Count it all joy, brethren, when you are faced with trials of various kind. He uses that term various because he can't pinpoint a particular trial that will come in your life and in my life. They will come in different shapes and forms. He says, count it all joy. We endure in the face of testing. Our faith is perfected when we endure. The reason why our faith is much perfected is we do not look to ourselves. You know this current lingo, the believe in yourself thing? That's when hardships come, just believe in yourself and you can do whatever you set your mind on. It's all about making you feel good. But we count it all joy during the hour of testing because we are being purified. The image of Christ is becoming more and more imprinted upon us. We are being placed on the firm foundation, and our hope, which does not disappoint, is more and more confirmed. In fact, James 1 and verse 3, he says, this endurance brings perfection in our faith. And he says, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Not only in this, he says, we also exult in tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, hope. Hope does not disappoint because of the love of God has been poured within our hearts. Does not disappoint. I love the way Revelation 1:9 encourages believers that we have become partakers of the tribulation. We have a part in tribulation. We will not inherit heaven, as we sang that hymn. Just lying on the bed of ease. That's not coming. It's not going to happen. We have to fight a good fight. Now we need to remember, this is the word that is going to the believers in diaspora. Persevere. Never lose heart. Never shrink back. Never succumb to the pressures round about you. Do not compromise. Stay your course. Stand firm. Remain resolute. Be steadfast in your faith. Let your character be evident to those that ridicule you because of the faith you have in God. But do not compromise. Persevere till the end. When the sun sets, you go pillow your head, you praise God for another beautiful day that has come to the end, and you trust Him for tomorrow. Because more hardships are coming. And you pray, God, strengthen me to face the hardships that come my way. You are not relying upon yourself. But there's also the context of God's frowning providence. Like we have in this category, the patriarch Job, I think I've already made an allusion to him. There are certain circumstances that come to test our faith. At times, it could be we have that brother, that sister, who is a believer. And we have prayed earnestly that God will be gracious to him to be healed. And then they die. What do we do in that time? Do we continue to trust God and His faithfulness and that He answered our prayers because He took that person? Or are we going to be like those that begin to question God? If He's powerful, He could have saved my sister, He could have saved my mother or my dad. Or at times, God's frowning providence might come in the form of an accident. A very active man who would participate in marathon races, cycle your bike, go swimming, and then both legs are chopped off. What do we do in such a time? A faithful believer subjected to cancer, and you know that it's eating you up from the inside. You have prayed all kind of prayers. What do we do? Still trust Him. We echo like John Piper would say, don't waste your cancer. Use it for His glory. use it for His praise. Because God's frowning providence comes at the time, in fact, we are never expecting, and then it strikes. Now, these are just, it might seem like far-fetched, you know, ideas. We do not know what the believers to whom Peter was writing were confronted with. They were men just like you and I. And they experienced things that you and I experience daily. Did they continue on holding on to Christ and proclaim His name and His fame far and wide? Or did they begin to draw back? Peter is saying, if you have taken control of yourself as a master of yourself, you should be one that is able to persevere. Whatever the Lord permits, whatever He allows in our lives, we shall receive and we'll say, praise God. Painful, yes. It might seem very, like it's inhumane for you to think that way. But it's those words that God is looking for from our lips. Praise God. Romans 9 and 17, we made a reference to that this morning. Just as an example of God's frowning providence. It cites the account of the Exodus. The Lord God sends Moses to Egypt to deliver the people of Israel. But we find that multiple plagues were allowed in the land of Egypt. And the Lord God, in his wise understanding and the order of things, He knew that Pharaoh was not going to release the Israelites. Bombarded him with plagues, plague after plague. Now we find the Apostle Paul echoing the words that are found in the same Exodus. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose, I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole world." Now, a very simple question. When the Lord was doing this, do you think that the camp of the Israelites, yes, they were very much protected by God, but you know they lived in that land for many, many years. And what had occurred obviously affected them greatly. Did they go away and complain against God at that particular time? Yeah, we have the account of them complaining in the wilderness. But the Lord is the one who was doing this. Genesis 50:20, a very common passage. Joseph sold into slavery by his brothers. And he went through many, many painful experiences. And at the end, when his brothers knew who he was, they were scared and they thought he was going to do bad to them. But look at this man of God and his reasoning. "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Why? He says, "In order to bring about the present result, to preserve many people." God's frowning providence doesn't always give to us answers there and then. the Lord might use us. And in the process, some of us might even die. But we'll never know the results that to follow afterwards. But the thing is, we'd have remained faithful, we persevered, and we served God with everything in us. One of the commentators says, perseverance fosters the ability to withstand the two satanic agencies of opposition from the world without and enticement from the flesh within. The quality was especially important in view of those who doubted Christ's return. I was echoing these very same words from 2 Peter 3 and 4. But the idea behind, he says, it fosters the ability to withstand. But let me just hurry on and look at the comforts. The comforts, the core, the context, now the comforts. Now you remain under. What comes out of your remaining under? It's like when a good seed is sown in the ground, it remains under the ground. Weeds come up, different things come up, but at the right time, that seed is going to germinate and bring about life. What is the result? There are quite a number of things, but I'll mention one or two things. Firstly, affirmation of your eternal security. It affirms that you are eternally secure. Because you're being subjected to persevere on the account of the testimony of Christ, it affirms that you are one among those that are held in the hands of God, preserved, and will be carried on to the very end. You are eternally secured. You are held by God, sustained by God, preserved by God, protected by God, and being laid to the very end by God. It is not about you. It's all for the glory of God. Ephesians 1, 13, 14. We are sealed by God, the Holy Spirit, the promise, the guarantee. So even when all these things come about, if we are born again by the grace of God, we will possess that which lies ahead of us. We are eternally secured, eternally protected, eternally sealed. Philippians 1:6, what does it say? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Wake out. Even as we are still here, we ought to wake out our salvation. And therefore, as God's children, when we persevere, we also need to know that it confirms not only have we eternal security, it also confirms that we are God's elect. We are God's elect. Now, if you've noticed, all this is coming because of the name of Christ. We do not get subjected to all these harsh treatments because we've led a life a certain way that is not even godly. And then we are persecuted. We say, I'm being persecuted for righteousness' sake. No, it has to do with God himself. Then you persevere on the account of God himself. It confirms that we are God's elect. It also confirms that we have the ears of the children of God. My sheep hears my voice, and they follow me. So wherever the Lord leads, we will go. Whatever the Lord permits, we will receive. And we rely upon the strength which he provides. We are his sheep. What else can we say? I think the last thing I would say is this also confirms not only are we eternally secured, not only are we the elects of God, not only do we have these sanctified ears that we hear His voice, but ultimately it confirms that you are absolutely a redeemed individual. You are saved. You are the redeemed of the Lord. Why do I say that confidently? Because Peter says, they received the faith of the same kind as ours. We have received the same faith of the same kind as the Apostle Peter's. We are saved. Are you saved? Dear ones, are you saved? If you are, you have to persevere. You have to persevere. The call to persevere, the context, and the comforts that come, the ultimate comfort is our inheritance of heaven. Inheritance of heaven. Nothing else should bring joy in our hearts other than to know that there is a place that awaits you. There's a place. I just can't wait for that day. I keep confessing this. I can't wait for that day. It doesn't matter how close to Jesus I may be, but as long as I've set my foot there and behold the Savior whom I have loved, and you behold the Savior whom you who loved, and you have served with everything in you, there is a reason to persevere. Peter is calling on the believers that with their self-control, they should diligently persevere. And this word I leave with you, brethren, persevere. By the strength that God provides, persevere. May He add a blessing to the preaching of His word tonight. Shall we pray together? Well, Father, we thank you that you can graciously remind us of the preciousness of fortitude that is in Christ. We thank you that we have come to know and appreciate your truth since you saved us by your grace. And you continue on exposing our minds to your truth. Give grace and strength to us to persevere, to run this race which is set before us. This race, Lord, is unavoidable. We have to run. We have to persevere. We have to endure until the end. But before the end comes, Lord, we pray that you draw closer to us and that you strengthen us every step of the way. We thank you that, Lord, upon us the Spirit of God has been given and is able to strengthen us every single day. Lord, we know that even as we venture in this world which lies ahead of us, many temptations will come our way from tomorrow. Varied circumstances that will press us from all the angles will come. But Father, we pray that you'd help us to remain true to who we are. And even during those tempting times, difficult circumstances, help us, Lord, to stand firm, resolute and steadfast. We plead and pray for your presence to abide with us and to lead us every step of the way. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.